All right, let's begin. We'll begin from ayah number 22 of Surah An-Nisa.
وَلَا تَنْكِحُوا مَا نَكَحَ آبَاؤُكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ.
And do not marry those women whom your fathers married,
إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ,
except what has already occurred.
إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَمَقْتًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا.
Indeed, it was an immorality and hateful to Allah and was evil as a way. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu explained that in the time of ignorance, the people would consider what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared unlawful for marriage to be unlawful. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the prohibition of marrying anyone's father's wife, right? And in the following ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the prohibition of marrying one's mother, one's daughter, one's sister, paternal aunt, maternal aunt, so on and so forth. So the Arabs used to consider such marriages to be unlawful, except for two types of marriages. And they were marrying the father's ex-wife, so whether it is the father's wife whom he divorced, or after the death of the father, his widow. And also, they did not have any problem with marrying two sisters at the same time. So these verses were revealed in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions all of the muharramat. The muharramat are the women who are forbidden for a man to marry. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَنْكِحُوا, and you all do not marry, the addresses to the men, do not do nikah with, who? مَا نَكَحَ أَبَاؤُكُمْ. مَا, what, as in whom? نَكَحَ أَبَاؤُكُمْ, your fathers married. And this could be a woman whom your father married and divorced, or the widow of your deceased father. So, مَا نَكَحَ أَبَاؤُكُمْ. And nikah over here means simply nikah. It's not necessary that the marriage was consummated or that the two lived together for a long time. No, even if just the nikah took place and soon after that there was divorce before the consummation of marriage, okay? Or let's say the man dies and the marriage was never consummated. Still, مَا نَكَحَ أَبَاؤُكُمْ, if your father married a woman, even if just the nikah took place, that woman is not permissible for a man to marry. And مَا نَكَحَ أَبَاؤُكُمْ, أَبَا, fathers, over here includes a man's father, also his grandfather, paternal grandfather, and also maternal grandfather. So any woman that your father, your paternal grandfather, or your maternal grandfather has married, even if he did not consummate the marriage with her, she is not permissible for you to marry. مِنَ النِّسَى, of the women, إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ, but forgiven is what has already passed. Now, remember that muharramat, the women who are forbidden for marriage, are primarily three kinds. Okay? The first type of muharramat women are those who are forbidden for marriage because they are related through blood, through lineage. So they are those who are forbidden because of nasab. Nasab as in lineage. And these are seven. They are one's mother, one's daughter, one's sister, paternal aunt, maternal aunt, brother's daughter, and sister's daughter. Okay, these are seven. Second type of muharramat women are those who are forbidden for marriage because of radar. Radar as in nursing. If a woman nurses a child who is not hers, someone else's child, then there is the relationship of radar that is established between that woman and child. And when a woman nurses a child, then remember that the Prophet ﷺ said that what is prohibited through blood is also prohibited through marriage. And inshallah, I'll talk more about that in more detail. But through radar are also seven kinds of muharramat, meaning one's mother through milk, one's daughter through milk, one's sister through milk, one's paternal aunt through milk, one's maternal aunt through milk, one's brother's daughter through milk, and also sister's daughter through milk. The third type of muharramat are those who are forbidden for marriage because of musahara. Musahara is marriage. Okay? And these are four. They are the wife of the father and the wife of the son. Then the mother of the wife and the daughter of the wife. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لَا تَنْكِحُوا مَا نَكَحَ أَبَاؤُكُمْ. Okay? do not marry whom your fathers married. So the ex-wife of your father or the widow of your father, okay, she is not permissible for marriage because this is prohibition on account of musahara, on account of marriage. And in this ayah, the prohibition of marrying one's father is mentioned. In the next ayah, the prohibition of marrying one's mother is mentioned. Okay? Because it's possible that, you know, a man's father has multiple wives. So, if you think about it, here in ayah 22, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, do not marry whom your fathers married. Okay? In ayah 23, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ. Your mothers are forbidden for you to marry. If you think about it, out of the two, your father's wife and your mother, okay, what is more serious? Marrying, which of the two is more serious? Marrying one's mother, of course, that is far more reprehensible, right? But why is it mentioned second? Because among the Arabs, it was inconceivable that a man would marry his own mother. But what was not uncommon was marrying the father's ex-wife or the father's widow. So what was common among them is mentioned first, because you begin fixing something by first fixing what is more common, right? So, وَلَا تَنْكِحُوا مَا نَكَحَ أَبَاؤُكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. And مِنَ النِّسَاءِ, among the women. So for example, imagine there is a man who marries a woman and then after some time divorces her, marries another woman, divorces her, marries a woman, divorces her. And he's had many wives like this through his life. Okay? So any of those women, no matter how many they may be, they could be 20, 30 women that your father has married, for example. But a man is not allowed to marry any of them. All of those women are permanently, forever, haram on him to marry. Okay? إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ, except what has already happened. إِلَّا over here gives a meaning of but. Okay? Remember that there's two types of exception. Okay? Two types of istithna. إِلَّا is a word of exception, of istithna. Sometimes إِلَّا is connected. Okay? It is connected. Any, for example, you say, you can have all of these chocolates except for the biggest bar. Okay, so it is within those chocolate bars. So you say you can have any of this except for this one. So this exception is connected. All right? But there's another type of illa, of istithna, which is munqatir, which is disconnected. And you're not making an exception out of what is mentioned. This illa over here, it gives a meaning of but or however. Okay? So illa ma qad salaf, but what has already passed, meaning that is forgiven. Okay, you are not sinful for what has already occurred, for what has already happened in the past, meaning what has already happened before the revelation of this hukum, what has happened in jahiliyyah. However, illa ma qad salaf does not mean that now such a marriage can continue. So for example, imagine a man married the widow of his father, okay, as per the custom of the Arabs. Now this ayah is revealed. So, illa ma qad salaf, what does that mean? That means that you're not sinful for what you did before the prohibition of this matter, right? Because you did not know it was forbidden, so why would you be sinful? However, what this means is that now you have to rectify moving on, moving forward. So what that means is that this nikah is no longer valid and the two must separate. Illa ma qad salaf. Innahu, indeed it. It, this is referring to marrying the father's wife. It is kana fahishatan. It is ever a fahisha, wa maqtan, and a loathsome deed, wa sa'a sabila, and a terrible way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions over here the reason for this prohibition. Why is it that He has forbidden men from marrying the ex-wives of their fathers? Three reasons are given over here. The first reason is that it is a fahisha. Fahisha, meaning it's an outrageous deed. Shara'an, yani religiously, this is something outrageous. Aqlan, yani if you use basic logic even, it doesn't make sense that you marry a woman that your father was once married to. Right? Shara'an and aqlan, this is disgusting. It is fahisha. And marrying the ex-wife of your father is like marrying your mother. And it is not showing proper respect to one's parents. Then, secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it is maqtan. Maqt from mim qaf ta, maqt is basically ashaddul bughd, any extreme hatred for something. And maqt over here means a deed that is worthy of extreme hatred. It is detestable, it is hated, it is loathsome. So it is said that so-and-so, any maqata, hated him on account of a foul action that he had committed, right? Or with the most violent hatred. So it is maqtan, meaning the person who does this kind of marriage, is hated by Allah. Why? Because such an action is similar to incest, right? And the person who does this is also hated by people. And this is also an action that causes the son to hate his father, okay, or the father to hate his son, right? And maqtan, this is a deed that is also loathsome. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَمَقْتًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. And how evil it is as a way. This is a terrible, terrible way. This is a bad way of marriage. And the person who does this kind of marriage is not doing something good, right? Now, if you think about it, with regard to zina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra, ayah 32, that وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا, do not even go near zina, إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Indeed, it is an outrageous deed and an evil way. But for this kind of marriage, marrying one's father's ex-wife, this is described as fahisha, sa'a sabila, and in the middle, maqta as well. Which shows that this kind of nikah is actually worse than zina. Right? And this kind of nikah is actually batil. It is invalid. And to be intimate with someone without a valid nikah is zina. And zina with one of the maharim, yani a woman who is supposed to be yani sacred and inviolable to you, this is something worse than, you know, zina with an ajnabiya, meaning a woman who is a stranger, right? Now, in a hadith in Sunan ibn Majah, we learn that Bara ibn Azib, radiallahu anhu, said that my maternal uncle passed by me, and the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, had given him a banner to carry. So, what's happening? Bara ibn Azib, radiallahu anhu, sees his uncle, and his uncle is carrying a banner. And clearly, he is being sent on a certain mission by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, Bara ibn Azib asked him that, where are you going? And he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has sent me to a man who has married his father's wife after he died. And he has commanded me to strike his neck. Subhanallah. This is how terrible and loathsome it is near Allah, that a person who does this deliberately is to be punished by the punishment is death. It's capital punishment. This is a very, very serious offense. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَمَقْتًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. And three things are mentioned over here that show that this kind of violation is very, very severe in the sight of Allah. Now, the ayah has been interpreted in another way as well. Okay, وَلَا تَنْكِحُوا مَا نَكَحَ أَبَاؤُكُمْ. مَا over here can also be translated as in the same way as. So do not marry as your father is married, the way that your father is married. Okay, and how is it that their fathers or their ancestors married? We have learned in the surah so far about how they would marry women without giving any mahar. Sometimes certain men would marry multiple women at a time, more than four. Also, they would exploit vulnerable women, orphans, widows with orphan children. Also, they would inherit the deceased's marriage, so the widow automatically became the wife of the closest heir, even if it was against her will. They would also marry the ex-wife of the father, right? So, وَلَا تَنْكِحُوا مَا نَكَحَ أَبَاؤُكُمْ. Yani, do not marry kama, the way that your forefathers would marry. Now, your marriages should be according to the laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. And so far, what have we learned about marriage in this surah? We have learned about the obligation of giving mahar, right? We have also learned that a man can only marry up to four women at a time, right? Likewise, men have also been told not to marry the woman whom they know they cannot be fair with, right? Also, it has been made clear that you cannot inherit the marriage of the deceased. You cannot marry the ex-wife of your father. So, وَلَا تَنْكِحُوا مَا نَكَحَ أَبَاؤُكُمْ. Do not marry in the way that your forefathers would marry. Now your marriage should be according to the teachings of Islam. And this is very important. Islam is not just about ritual prayer or ritual worship. Islam includes, it affects all of our lives. The way that we marry, the way that we carry out even funeral rituals, everything should be according to Islam. أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً. Enter into Islam completely. Now in the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us some more clarifications. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ. حُرِّمَتْ. Have been prohibited, made unlawful. عَلَيْكُمْ. On you. حُرِّمَتْ. Have been made unlawful. عَلَيْكُمْ. Upon you. What has been made unlawful upon you? أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ. Your mothers. وَبَنَاتُكُمْ. And your daughters. وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ. And your sisters. وَعَمَّاتُكُمْ. And your paternal aunts. So, حُرِّمَتْ, they have been made unlawful, meaning نِكَاحُهُنَّ, marrying them has been made unlawful. So marrying your mother is unlawful for you. This addresses to the men, okay? That, O men, your mothers are prohibited on you for marriage, and your daughters, وَبَنَاتُكُمْ, are also prohibited on you for marriage. وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ, and your sisters are also prohibited on you for marriage. And so on and so forth. So this ayah mentions the muharramat, the women who are forbidden for marriage, in more detail. Okay? And the muharramat are those women that a man is not allowed to marry. Hurrimat from haram, haramim. And muharram is not just what is prohibited. Muharram is also something that is entitled to reverence or respect or honor. It is something that should be revered. It should be respected. It's not to be treated as other things are treated. Okay? So these women who are mentioned over here, your mothers, your daughters, your sisters, your paternal aunts, your maternal aunts, your nieces, these are women whom you must honor. And part of that is that you do not marry them. They're inviolable for you. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ. So I mentioned to you earlier that the muharramat are basically on account of nasab, all right, on account of milk, and also on account of marriage. Now, the word hurrimat, she has been made unlawful, and the pronoun is referring to all the women that are mentioned over here, so they have been made unlawful. But hurrimat, this is a verb that is mubham. She has been made unlawful. So immediately you wonder who has been made unlawful. And when a verb is such that it is not active, but rather passive, then one of the benefits of this in Arabic is that here it shows that there is no way whatsoever for these women to ever be halal for you to marry. Yani حُرِّمَتْ, they have been made unlawful. Made unlawful, yani completely, permanently, forever. So there is absolutely no way for a man to ever, ever be permitted to marry his mother, his daughter, his sister, his paternal aunt, his maternal aunt, or his nieces. Okay? So حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ. Now, you can see that this ayah is fairly long, okay, but there's basically three sections in it. Okay, there's three sections in it. In the first section, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions those women who are prohibited on account of nasab. Okay, and these are seven. So first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ. أُمَّهَات is the plural of the word and is mother. So أُمَّهَات, mothers. And أُمَّهَات over here includes, of course, one's mother, okay, but also one's grandmother, paternal grandmother, and also maternal grandmother. Not just grandmother, but also great-grandmother. Again, paternal and maternal. However high you go, okay, in terms of generations, but أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ, your mother's mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, great-great-grandmother, okay, all of them are prohibited on you for marriage. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ. Second, وَبَنَاتُكُمْ, Banat is the plural of the word bint, and bint is daughter. Okay? And banat includes, again, one's daughter, okay, direct daughter, and also distant daughter. Distant daughter as in granddaughter. Granddaughter through one's son or through one's daughter. Okay? And not just granddaughter, but also great-granddaughter. So however low you go. Ummahat, however high you go. Banat, however low you go. Then third is akhawatukum. Akhawat, plural of the word, ukht. Ukht is sister. And a sister can be full sister. Okay? So that means that your mother, father are the same. Or can be half-sister. Half-sister as in either it is that your father is the same but different mothers, or your mother is the same, different fathers. So all types of sisters, full or half, through one's father or through one's mother, they are also forbidden for marriage. Then fourth, ammatukum. Ammat is the plural of ammah. And ammah is paternal aunt, meaning your father's sister. Okay? So they are also forbidden for you to marry. And by you, I mean men. Okay? So for a man, it is not permissible to marry his paternal aunt, his father's sister. But ammat doesn't just refer to just the father's sister. It also includes grandfather's sister. Okay? So your grandfather, so for example, a man's paternal grandfather, okay, his sister is who? The man's paternal aunt as well. Okay? Likewise, your mother's paternal aunt, okay, because your mother's father is also among your fathers, right? So his sister, meaning your maternal grandfather's sister, is also your paternal aunt. So all of them are included in ammat. So in ammat are who? Paternal aunt, meaning father's sister, and also grandfather's sister, meaning your father's paternal aunt and your mother's paternal aunt. Then khalatukum. Number five, khalatukum. Khalat is a plural of khala. And khala is maternal aunt, meaning your mother's sister. Okay? So khalat, your maternal aunts are also forbidden for you to marry. And again, this doesn't just include your maternal aunt, but also the maternal aunt of your father and the maternal aunt of your mother. The maternal aunt of your father and the maternal aunt of your mother. So that means your father's, your paternal grandfather's sister, and also your maternal grandfather's sister. Then, banatul akh. Number six, banatul akh. Banat, daughters of al akh, the brother. So the daughters of your brother, meaning your brother's daughters, are who? Your nieces. They're also prohibited for marriage. Banatul akh. And banatul akh include not just the daughters of the brother, but also his granddaughters. Okay? His granddaughters also. Then, number seven, banatul ukht. Banatul ukht, daughters of the sister. This is also your niece. Okay? Banatul ukht are your nieces. Now, again, banatul ukht includes who? Your sister's daughters and also your sister's granddaughters. Because the word banat includes daughters and also granddaughters. Okay? So these seven are all muharramat through nasab. Is this clear? Okay, alhamdulillah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions muharramat through rada'a. Okay? Through milk. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions وَأُمَّهَاتُكُمُ اللَّاتِي أَرْضَعْنَكُمْ وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ مِنَ الرَّضَاعَ. And your mothers, اللاتي, those who أرضعنكم, breastfed you, who nursed you, وأخواتكم, and also your sisters, من الرضاعة, through nursing, through breastfeeding. Okay? So, two are mentioned over here, meaning two types of women who are prohibited from marriage because of, on account of, milk. Okay? Now the thing is that the hadith explains the Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that إِنَّ الرَّضَاعَةَ تُحَرِّمُ مَا تُحَرِّمُ الْوِلَادَةَ, that suckling prohibits what birth prohibits. In another hadith, يَحْرُمُ مِنَ الرَّضَاعَةِ مَا يَحْرُمُ مِنَ النَّسَبِ, suckling establishes prohibited degrees just as blood does. Okay, so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions only two types of women. But based on the hadith, we see that through milk, also there are seven types of muharramat. Okay, seven types of muharramat. Who are they? The first two that are mentioned in this ayah are ummahatukum, your mothers, allati adharnakum, those who nursed you. Okay, so for example, there's a woman who nurses the baby, the son of her friend. Okay? And that means now that woman is like a mother to that boy. Okay? So when that boy grows up, she does not have to wear hijab in front of him. Okay? And he is not allowed to marry her. Ummahatukum allati ardarnakum. And wa akhawatukum. So among these women is who? First of all, the mother who nursed you. Second, wa akhawatukum min ar-rida'a. Your sisters through breastfeeding. Okay? What does that mean? Your sisters through breastfeeding. This means, imagine the same woman who nursed her friend's son. Okay? Now, this woman, she herself has a daughter. Okay? She herself has a daughter. So now, her daughter and her friend's son are like what? Siblings. Okay? They're siblings. What if this woman also nurses another friend's daughter? Now, all of these three children are milk siblings. Okay? All of these three children are milk siblings. So, أَخَوَاتُكُمْ مِنَ الرَّضَاعَ, your sisters through breastfeeding, meaning you are not allowed to marry any girl, any woman whom your milk mother has nursed or your milk mother has given birth to. Okay? So, these are the first two. Third, from hadith, the Prophet ﷺ told us that suckling prohibits what birth prohibits. Okay? So third is also your daughter through milk. Okay? Your daughter through milk. What does that mean? This means that the girl who becomes a man's daughter through milk is haram. Okay? So back to that woman who nursed her friend's son, and who also nursed another friend's daughter. Okay? Now, when she nursed her friend's daughter, that child, that girl, became like her daughter. Okay? Now, this woman's husband is not allowed to marry that girl. Why? Because his wife has nursed that girl. But one might wonder that why? Because it's his wife who nursed the girl. What does he have to do with that? The thing is that why was she lactating? How was it that she was producing milk? On account of who? On account of him. Right? Because he had a child with her, because of which she began lactating, because of which he had milk, and she was able to nurse this girl. Okay? So the husband of this woman becomes like a father then, to the children that she nurses while she is married to him, on account of whom she is lactating. Okay? So she is like his daughter. So he is not allowed to marry her. Okay? So this is a third one. Fourth, paternal aunt. Paternal aunt meaning the sister of the man whose wife nursed him. The sister of the man whose wife nursed him. So imagine now the boy who is nursed by this woman, okay? So back to the lady, okay, who nursed her friend's son. Now imagine if this woman's husband has a sister. This woman's husband has a sister. So basically this woman's sister-in-law. This woman's sister-in-law is now an aunt to this child, okay? So for example, I nursed my cousin's son. Okay? My cousin's son, for him, my sister-in-law is like his paternal aunt. Okay? So my sister-in-law does not have to wear hijab in front of my cousin's son whom I nursed. Okay? So now there is a relationship over there. Same thing, maternal aunt. Number five is who? Maternal aunt, meaning the sister of the woman who nursed him. So my sister does not have to wear hijab in front of my cousin's son whom I nursed. Okay? Then number 6, brother's daughter. And number 7, sister's daughter. Okay, yani through rada. So وَأُمَّهَاتُكُمُ اللَّاتِي أَرْضَعْنَكُمْ وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ مِنَ الرَّضَاعَ. Yani niece also through rada is prohibited from marriage. In a hadith, we learned that Aisha radiallahu anha reported that while the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was with her, she heard a man asking Hafsa radiallahu anha's permission to enter her house. So Aisha radiallahu anha said that I said, O Allah's Messenger, I think the man is Hafsa's foster uncle. Foster as in milk uncle. And Aisha radiallahu anha added that, O Allah's Messenger, there is a man asking permission to enter your house. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, I think the man is Hafsa's foster uncle. Okay, so Aisha radiallahu anha said, if so and so were living, so Aisha radiallahu anha now asked about her foster uncle, her milk uncle, that if he was still alive, would he be allowed to visit me? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, he would. Because he explained that foster relations are treated like blood relations. Foster as in relations that are established through milk are treated like blood relations. Now there's a question. Which type of rada'a establishes the relationship? Which type of nursing establishes the relationship? There is a difference of opinion in this regard. Okay. The first opinion is that even if a woman nurses the child once, okay, it is sufficient. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not specified over here how many times the mother is supposed to nurse. وَأُمَّهَاتُكُمُ اللَّاتِي أَرْضَعْنَكُمْ. Your mothers who breastfed you. How many times? How frequently? How much? It's not specified. What is specified is that she has nursed you. So even if she has nursed you once, then she is like your mother. Okay? And we also learn that when a woman came and, you know, claimed that she had nursed a man and woman who had gotten married, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them to separate. He did not inquire from the woman how many times she had nursed the man, how many times she had nursed the woman. He did not ask her any of those questions. There was no investigation whatsoever, just testimony, right? So according to some scholars, nursing only once establishes radar, okay? Others say 3 sucklings. Yani there should be at least 3 times that the woman has nursed the child on 3 separate occasions. Then there's another opinion, which is that 5 times, okay, within the first 2 years of life, 5 times, and they shouldn't just be, you know, just that the baby is latching on and that's it. No, it's that he is hungry or she is hungry and she's nursed or he's nursed properly, okay? So this is 1 nursing. So 5 such nursings, they will establish rada'a. And this opinion is truly the safest opinion, because when you consider all of the texts together, then this is what is obvious, what makes most sense, that there should be at least 5 sucklings within the first 2 years of life at a time when the child is hungry. And this is what establishes the relationship of radar. Okay. So what you should know is that the husband of the woman who nurses the child becomes the father through rada'a, because he is the cause of that lactation, right? And this means that if he has children through another wife, those children are also your milk siblings, because all the children who call him father are now your milk siblings. Likewise, if the woman who nursed you marries another man and has children with him, they're also your siblings, because she is the one who nursed you and she's the one who birthed them. So the tahrim can be through the mother and also the father of radar. Okay? The relationship of radar is established through who? Through the mother who nurses and also her husband at the time when she nursed you. Okay? All right. Then the third section in this ayah is about those women who are prohibited from marriage on account of musahara. Okay? Musahara as in because of the relationship of marriage. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأُمَّهَاتُ نِسَائِكُمْ and the mothers of your wives, meaning the mother-in-law, okay? And not just the mother of your wife, but also the grandmother of your wife, because ummahat includes mother, grandmother, paternal and maternal, okay? وَأُمَّهَاتُ نِسَائِكُمْ.